And welcome to The Extra, the show that connects you with the people, issues, and topics that are important to you. And today, our topic is an organization that has a long history here in the Colorado Springs area, and it has a history of helping kids and helping families. And I'd like to welcome to the show our two guests today, and someone who's very familiar to our KRDO audiences, John Carroll, who is a longtime former Colorado Springs news anchor, especially here at KRDO News Channel 13, where I had the pleasure of sitting alongside him and delivering the news on our morning news for several years. But John, you were here for much longer. So now he is with Special Kids, Special Families. John, welcome to the show.
Hi, good morning, Shannon. It's great to be back on the airwaves with you. Yeah, we had a few years together, not nearly long enough, but So thankful that I'm able to join you here again this morning.
And we will be hearing from John a little bit later on. We're very glad that he's here with us. I'd like to welcome to the show also John's colleague at Special Kids, Special Families, Sandra Dunlap. And Sandra, welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Oh, you bet. And we're going to be talking about this organization, but I know your specialty is in the matching up of families, especially with youngsters who are in foster care. So let's talk about the need for foster care in our community. Where do we stand with trying to provide families, homes for those teens who are undergoing this transition, or all kids that are undergoing this transition? Sometimes it's a more permanent placement, I understand. Sometimes it's an emergency placement. So tell us about this process and how Special Kids, Special Families factors into making these connections.
Great, wonderful topic. Great to talk about it. So the need for children in foster care is great. We have a high need for teen foster parents and children of all ages. So the process is kind of fairly simple. We have orientation every first of the month, every first Tuesday of the month. The requirements are simple: be at least 21 years of age, have a loving home, adequate space, and excited about fostering teens.
And especially the teens, I think they can express what they're going through a little bit probably easier than the younger children. But they have a very striking dilemma, don't they? Because they're past an age where, you know, they are looked at the same as families who are looking to adopt.
Yes. The teenagers are, they can be challenging, but they also can be very rewarding having a teenager in your home, because they are coming with a little bit more experience through the system, and they've been in and out probably several times, but they have great resilience, and they are wanting someone to just hear their story and be supportive to them.
Sandra, maybe for people who aren't familiar with foster care, who for whom it's never crossed their paths, perhaps, foster care fits a very specific need and niche in a community. Tell us what that need is. Where do these kids, you know, first of all, how do they end up in foster care, and why are the families needed to step into that caregiving role?
So the children end up in foster care for various reasons. It normally for abuse and neglect, just to name a few, and it could be for just that hard-to-place kid. The parents just felt like they couldn't provide adequate care for that child. It's some reasons why children end up in foster care. So the teenagers, as we say, can come in for various reasons, and and they are in need of a placement, just someone to seek out and love them. The training process is kind of very simple to get licensed and to address the issues that a teen is having. Sorry.
We know that Special Kids, Special Families is an umbrella service, an umbrella program for several care options and direct service providers. So when you're talking about how Special Kids, Special Families factors into this, is it providing, I guess, that framework under which these foster care placements can be made?
Yes, it's providing a framework to where we license the foster parent, we provide them adequate training to deal with the population that they will be specifically working with, say teenagers. So they're getting all the basic training of how to work with a team, how to address the issues that a team may have. So they are getting the training and the necessary tools to work with someone in their home.
And
support from us we're on support 24 hours, 7 days a week.
And I know that there is, once a placement is made, there is some financial support that comes from the government to help cover the costs of that child. But is there a cost incurred if someone, for instance, listening, perhaps thinks, you know, I've never considered being a foster parent. Maybe this is, now that I'm an empty nester, maybe this is an area that I want to invest my time and my energy in becoming a foster parent. Is there a cost to going through that route, to getting that training, to getting that licensure?
So one of the neat things about our agency is that there is no cost to a foster parent for someone that wanting to become a foster parent. There is no cost per our agency. We acquire all the costs. The only thing that you have to have is a loving home and adequate space. So we acquire all that cost.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, we are going to be talking a little bit more with Sandra here, and we're going to be also talking with John Carroll, who's with marketing with Special Kids, Special Families. Special Kids, Special Families, in case you don't know, is a Colorado nonprofit. It's been around for several decades, two decades or more, and it's providing community support services to families and also dealing with the needs of individuals with disabilities. And so we're going to be talking, continuing on with this conversation, Special Kids, Special Families, and specifically foster care placement. That's coming up as the conversation continues here on The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Welcome back to The Extra, the show that connects you with the people, issues, and topics that are important to you. And today we've been discussing the issue and the topic of foster care and the need for foster families and the need for foster families to step up and provide care to some of the neediest in our community, the children that are undergoing a life change that provides them with, that fails to provide them with the caregiving that they need in their immediate family. And so the need for a foster care placement comes up. I'm talking to Sandra Dunlap, who is the program director for Child Placement Agency at the Special Kids, Special Families Organization, a nonprofit here in Colorado Springs in Colorado. And Sandra, let's talk a little bit. We've been talking about how a child, for instance, would end up in the foster care system. How also do families and adults come to you and come to your organization wanting to be foster parents? How does that, I assume that there are a variety of paths that would take someone to this decision.
Yes, and we only work with the children on this side. So we work with children 0 through 18. So one of the ways they can attend our orientation, which they can go online and register to attend our orientation, or they can call me direct at 719-244-5113, or they can email me at sdunlap@skSFColorado.org and let me know that they are interested, and we will reach out to them.
Oh, that's fantastic. And when you reach out to them, are a lot of them coming to this because they they heard something like this on the radio, or is it because maybe their lives have changed, they've gone through a life change that allows them to maybe turn more attention to, you know, perhaps they're empty nesters, or perhaps they're a single person who's going, you know, my plans to have my own family did not work out, so I'm ready to take on this challenge.
Yes, we get a lot of inquiries for various reasons. Some are empty nesters. Some are just having a burning desire. This is something that they've always wanted to do for such a long time. And so they are coming aboard as well.
Oh, and we were talking about how the need to place teens is very great. But special kids, special families also deals with disabilities. And so teens and other children with disabilities are also placed through your program. Tell us what sort of parameters and thoughts that people need to have in terms of providing those placements.
If you're looking at working, we always tell our potential foster parents that we do serve children with special needs. So you have to have an open mindset in regards to working with someone with special needs, because they can be a challenge if you haven't worked with that population before. So we always encourage everyone to have an open mind, talk with us, talk it through to make sure that this is something that you're willing and wanting to do, to work with special needs, because they are such a wonderful population to work with.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes I would assume that you have to make sure that the environment into which you're placing them is the right environment. You know, if someone has physical challenges, it's going to be more difficult if you have a two-story or three-story home, I would assume.
Right. We have conversations, and then we also come out to your home to do an inspection, because we want this to be a workable solution for everyone. And if you're wanting to work with someone with special needs, we're going to come out and have conversations with you and make sure that you have adequate space and that your home is suitable for the child that you're wanting to place in your home.
And when you talk to these families that are looking, these adults that are looking to open up their home, what are the, I guess, the non-tangible benefits that you will say will change their lives by taking this journey, by taking on this challenge?
One of the things that I always express to potential foster parents is that this is going to be a life-changing event for you. You will have some ups and downs, but you will also have a lot of remarkable memories that you can cherish forever, along with the child as well. So it is going to be a challenge, but you have to know that you're here for a reason. This child is going to need you, and you're going to meet some of the child's milestones with this child.
Mm, and for the child that's getting placed, for the teenager especially, I think one of the things that strikes me when talking about this issue of foster care is that the younger children may be bewildered by a lot of the changes going on in their lives. The older children, they know what's happening. And for them to find a forever home or at least a stable home has to be something that they know in their heart what a difference it's making in their lives. But at the same time, like you said, it's an adjustment period.
Correct. It is an adjustment period for everyone involved. And so that's where that I'm not going to give up on you. I'm going to work with you through everything is what that child is looking for, especially a teenager. So most teenagers are used to individuals giving up on them, but the commitment that you make to a teenager is long-lasting.
And rewarding, I'm sure, because
yes.
Teenagers, no matter what sort of home they're in, what sort of placement they're in, they are challenging. I am the mom of a teenager. I can definitely say that. sometimes we don't know which way is up. So I can definitely attest to that. Are placements done, for instance, myself, I have a teenager, are placements done in homes where there are other children as well?
Yes. Yes, yes. Placements are done where there's other children, your biological children. We do accept applications. And I am a mother of 14 girls, so I can relate to you.
And do you, I guess you have to look at that a little differently because they're coming into a different situation where the focus is not all on the foster child. It's also you're trying to balance the needs on how this is going to fit in with the existing family. Is that correct?
Yes, we have open conversations, and we not only speak to the potential parents, but we also speak with the children to make sure how they're feeling about it. And then we bring everyone together and say, hey, how's everyone feeling about your parents doing foster care? What do you think that's going to be lacking from you? And we let them know that they're not going to miss any events, and you have another person in the home that's going to be supportive of you, and you're supportive of this, of the foster child that's coming in. And we balance everything out, and it becomes a workable solution for everyone involved.
Right, right. It family is a balancing act, isn't it? We're talking with Sandra Dunlap. And Sandra, I know you need to go to an appointment, so we're going to sign off with you. But before we go, tell us again, there is an upcoming, interested parties can contact you, how and what should they be aware of?
So we have our orientation on October the 6th, and so you can call me at 719-244-5113, or you can email me at sdunlap@sksfcolorado.org.
Okay,
forward to seeing you.
And we'll make sure to put that on our podcast link, so if people didn't catch it that time, we'll make sure that they get that on our website, krdo.com/radio. Sandra, good talking to you.
Thank you. Enjoy the rest of your day.
And thank you so much. And when we come back, we are going to be joined by John Carroll. He was the master of the airwaves here at KRDO News Channel 13 and KRDO, the network of KRDO, but he has made the transition and is now working on behalf of this worthy organization. Special Kids, Special Families. We'll be continuing the discussion. Here's The Extra continues after this. And welcome back to The Extra, the show that connects you with the issues, topics, and people that are important to you. And today, we've been talking about the role that Special Kids, Special Families plays in our community. Specifically, we were talking earlier with Sandra Dunlap about their foster care placement services that they offer. But right now, we are pleased to have with us John Carroll. Used to be very familiar to folks who listen to KRDO and who as well watch KRDO News Channel 13. Now in a new role with Special Kids, Special Family. So, John, we talked about Sandra's work with your group, but tell us, I guess, overall, what mission Special Kids, Special Families has in our community?
Yeah, thank you, Shannon, for taking Sandra on the first half hour there. She had a meeting to get to and had some important information about the need for foster families in our community. But backing up just a bit, we are coming up on 22 years of service in the Colorado Springs community by Special Kids, Special Families. The founding program that many people have heard of is Zach's Place for Children. And this was started by two mothers who both had children with severe disabilities and just faced up to the challenge of caring for these kids. And sadly, both of the children passed away in their teens. And these two women got together and they realized that they're just were not enough services out there to give families and give caregivers a break from caring for their children with disabilities. So they put their heads together and started Zach's Place, and it's one of only two such facilities in the state of Colorado that provides care for children with disabilities while giving the caregivers respite, a break from that care. So Zach's Place is over off of 30th Street, west side of Colorado Springs, a beautiful facility there with plenty of room. And especially now with COVID, we have enough room that we can break the kids off into separate groups on either side of the building or make use of our big backyard. And and practice safe social distancing. And we've got all the protocols in place. Everyone who comes in has their temperature taken, and we have gloves and masks and sanitizer, and everything's cleaned on a regular basis. So it's a place where parents know that they can leave their child with a disability for an hour, 2 hours a day, if need be, while the parent takes care of business that they need to, or just get a good, well-needed rest.
Well, and you don't think about it, but, you know, if you have a child, you can call in a babysitter, maybe a 12-year-old or 15-year-old down the street or something, not 12, maybe 14 or 15-year-old down the street, right? And you can call them in, but if you have a child with a special need, a babysitter is not going to be up to that task. You wouldn't want even an adult caregiver or, you know, a nanny would not be perhaps the right choice. So with a child with special needs, there has to be the appropriate place, or else you're not going to get any time off to go to a doctor's appointment or anything else. So I can see why Zach's Place is important in our community and also is continuing to thrive 22 years later.
And that's exactly right. I mean, the parent obviously is the best caregiver for that child, but you know, if they don't get a break, they're not going to be able to properly care for that child. You know, burnout and stress and everything can take its toll. So with Zach's Place, they know that they can take the child there. And what we offer also is we will also care for the typically developed sibling at Zach's Place as well. So the parent doesn't have to run all over town going to different daycares, and we have set up a preschool type of program to get kids who are going to be going off to school, get them ready for that experience, and a lot of life skills and arts and crafts and fun and dance and music and all kinds of things where they can spend the day and be well taken care of. Now, somewhere along the way, we, at some point, you had a child that reached the age of 18, 19, and, you know, they're going to have to transition out of kind of a child care program. So that's when we started our adult services program, where we basically do a very similar thing for adults with disabilities, age 18, right on up through. We have some senior citizens that come to our adult program, which is called Joey's Place, both of these named after those original two children I told you about, the children of the two women who started the program. And Joey's is center-based. The adults can come there, and used to be they would spend the day, but now with after COVID, we've broken it up into separate morning and afternoon programs. We can keep the numbers smaller that way and still have a good staff-to-client ratio. And same thing, there are some life skills, some sort of pre-vocational, some yoga, stretching, exercise, dance, music, and crafts. You know, what are the hobbies that these adults are interested in? What can we focus on and get them involved with? And then we do have others who maybe are a little more mobile that are able to go out in the community and visit museums and libraries and parks and do some volunteering in the community. So a whole lot going on there for the adults as well. So we do kind of look at it, and if you take in the foster care aspect we talked about earlier, where we take newborns, basically, if need be, we do have almost kind of a cradle-to-grave approach to caring for people with disabilities in our community.
Providing a wonderful umbrella to shelter them from some of the curves that life has thrown at them. Talking about this, you can see how this organization has grown organically. How many clients, I guess, would you be serving over, say, the course of, I don't know, 6 months or so?
Well, the best numbers I can give you are, it was like 112 children served last year, I think, over the course. And we also break it down into service hours and things. And during this past summer with COVID, I think we set record numbers of service hours at Zach's Place. And it's the same with the adults, close to 100 over the course of a year. Not everyone comes every day, and not everyone comes, 52 weeks or whatever. But and then you take into account the children that we've helped placed into foster care, and we also have residential host home providers. Now, that you can kind of think of where people will take an adult with disabilities and care for them in their home. So we've got close to 50 families in that program caring for people. And our most recent program we added late last summer, we offer behavioral health services, mental health, for people age 4 through senior citizens with or without disabilities. And we offer that in English and Spanish. So quite a few people being served, and not just in the Colorado Springs, Pikes Peak area, but we can do the foster placement or throughout the entire state. So the numbers are growing, Shannon. It's hard to put a count on it.
Well, and we know that while grants and I guess certain maybe government funding might be coming through, that does not always pay all the bills. We're going to be talking about how special kids, special families need your help and needs the help of our listeners who may be listening right now and maybe wanting to help in a way that is very special and will go a long way toward providing for the needs of those who are getting these services through Special Kids, Special Families. So we're continuing the discussion. Do you have to take a short break for messages? That's what pays the bills, right, John? You know that.
That's the bottom line, Shannon.
All right, we'll be back in a moment talking about fundraising and how you can join in. And welcome back to The Extra, the show connecting you with issues, topics, and people that are important to you. And we've been talking about the organization Special Kids, Special Families, that provides for the needs of so many in our community. There's Zach's Place, which provides respite care to families of children with disabilities, and Joey's Place, which then does the same thing for adults who are facing whatever challenges they have, whether they're physical or mental, but they provide a respite care situation there through Joey's Place so that it's more of an adult daycare, I guess you would call it, in certain circumstances, that provides meaningful activities for adults as they are maybe giving a little bit of time off, time away for their caregivers to take care of doctor's visits or what have you. And then all the other programs that they have, including what we were starting the hour talking about, which are the foster placement services that are under the umbrella of Special Kids, Special Families, and how you might get involved. All of that is done, I'm guessing, with funding that comes from a variety of sources. Joining us now, John Carroll, who is the marketing and outreach coordinator for Special Kids, Special Families. And John, when it comes to funding, something like this, when you talk about the specialized care and the special training that's needed to provide this respite care, it does not come cheaply, I bet.
No, the care is not cheap, as you can imagine. Now, most of our clients, they get some sort of Medicaid. The children, there are different child waivers that come with Medicaid. There are some for adults as well. And then also for children, families can use what's called the Colorado Child Care Assistance Program, and that's geared toward parents who are maybe going back to school or looking for work, something like that. We do serve a lot of single-parent families and low-income families, and the reimbursement just doesn't measure up to the cost of our service. So we basically run Zach's Place for Children at a deficit, and so that's why fundraising is so important. Yes, there are a lot of grant opportunities, and those are great, but we have our major fundraiser of the year coming up. It's going to be our 9th annual Night of Comedy.
Ah.
We're sticking with the theme, and it's something that I think kind of sets us apart from other nonprofit organizations. I don't know if anyone else does a Night of Comedy with a comedian. So this year, obviously, we've had to switch to kind of a virtual live event. So what's going to happen is on Saturday, October 10th, starting at 6 o'clock, people can join us on our Facebook or YouTube pages, either one, and there will be this sort of a live broadcast. I will be the host, And the content that we would normally have at our annual dinner is still going to be there. We're going to debut our new Zach's Place video profiling one of the families that uses Zach's Place. And we've got a performance by some of the kids who attend Zach's. They have put together a cute performance to a song from The Greatest Showman, This Is Me. And we've got that recorded as well. We've got a comedian, Steve Mazon. He's out of Los Angeles. You may have seen him on Letterman. He's had his own comedy specials. And he is recording his performance for us. And while this is going on, of course, we will have our silent auction. It's going to be on a mobile platform this year, so people can download the app to their phone, their mobile device, and they can follow along and see all the items to bid on. They can bid on something and then set an alert that will tell them, hey, someone outbid you. You need to go back and check that. You find out items that don't have bids. And we've got a lot of great stuff. I just picked up last week an autographed jersey from Denver Broncos legend Randy Gratishar, the Orange Crush defense. Ooh. He has been such a big supporter and has donated an autographed jersey. We've got hockey stick signed by the Avalanche team. We've got some different outings and packages and travel trips and golf foursomes and things like that. Just all the typical stuff that you would find to bid on in a silent auction. So it's our major fundraiser. It's different this year, obviously, but we're not paying the expense of a fancy dinner at a big ballroom, so expenses will be lower, and we're hoping that this can help, and all the proceeds from Night of Comedy go to benefit Zach's Place for Children.
What a great idea. And like you said, I mean, you know, usually these in-person events, you would go to a big ballroom, you'd be up there emceeing, I'm sure, and, you know, and people would be eating some food and drinking some wine. But here, you could order a pizza and have, you know, a beer, crack open a beer and be in your PJs watching this and having a grand old time. It sounds actually, in a way, somewhat, some might call it more preferable. You might raise a lot more money that way.
It's exactly, because instead of having that, just those 250 people or so in a ballroom looking at the silent auction items, we could have people from all over the country. I'm encouraging people to, hey, tell your families to join us, you know, and tune in and bid. And there's, if you don't want to bid on the silent auction, there's ways to donate. And I mean, once you see the video of the family that goes to Zach's Place, you'll realize how important this care is to these families who have a child with a disability. And in this case, it's a mom who has a young son who comes to us for his disability and his typically developed little sister. Her name's Charlotte. I have just fallen in love with her. She's such a sweetheart, and she comes to Zach's every day and gets her kind of preschool experience that way. And then mom can go and work and take care of what she needs to do. And so what we offer at Zach's that I think is unique is we let the parents kind of set the schedule. We're open 7 days a week, and however early they need to drop them off or how late they need to pick them up, we really work to accommodate that, and even overnight stays if necessary. We've done that as well in cases where maybe a single parent has needed surgery or something. So it's a great service, and we just depend on a lot of great community support and from individuals and businesses. All right, we've got some wonderful sponsors lined up as well.
Well, we certainly want to support the cause because, like you said, a very worthy cause. Again, the date is Saturday, October 10th, starting at 6 o'clock, going to 7:30. It is the 9th annual Night of Comedy through Special Kids, Special Families. We'll make sure to get up the link on our KRDO.com/radio podcast page so folks can check it out. We wish you all the best on that fundraiser and wish you continued success with creating these wonderful respite opportunities for families in the Colorado Springs area, as well as all the foster care placement services that are provided that we heard about through Sandra Dunlap. John Carroll, thank you so much. Good talking to you.
You too, Shannon. Thanks for the opportunity. SKSFColorado.org. All the information you need right there at a click of a button.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, John. You've been listening to The Extra here on KRDO News Radio.